who taught my little feet his praises. Thanks be to God for giving me mother. Mothers are given by God. Mothers are I give. A tender smile to comfort when my heart was weary. A helping hand whene'er a load I had to carry. A reverent prayer to guide my way. Her faith in God. Kindness fill my days with gladness, like lovely flowers in a garden. Thanks be to God for giving me mother. Mothers are given by God.
Thank you. Mothers are a gift from God, a special gift. I want now to read a scripture lesson that may sound strange to you in the second chapter of Luke, or the first chapter of Luke, rather. And this is the first time that in my ministry I have used this scripture for a Mother's Day message. But I believe there are some very important points here. You will think all of a sudden the pastor has slipped and that he has his days mixed up, that it's Christmas. But I'll try to prove otherwise a little bit later on. Beginning in the 26th verse of the first chapter of Luke, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And so from this, when we think about a Christian home, I want you to think with me the kind of a mother God chooses. Here we have a mother named Mary. And what stands out in her life in the beginning teaches us a lot about her life. But notice the statement, you have found favor with God. This means that here was a young lady who had kept herself pure, pure from the temptation of sin and lust, and she was holy unto God. She believed in God. She lived a godly life, and she had found favor in God. And this is why God chose her to be the mother of his son, Jesus. And I think from this, we can find some characteristics that will be helpful to you mothers here this morning, to some of you who are planning to be mothers, for some of you who are planning to come to the altar to be married in some of the weeks to come. You know, we need to place emphasis on the home and on the role of mother, because our homes are in trouble today. We are facing a moral deterioration in our society. And before I mention some of these areas of moral decay, let me say that I do not want to add to the guilt or the hurt of those who have failed in marriage or those who are failing now. But I feel that it is not only my obligation as a minister, but I think as a church, to lift up the ideals of the home, the family, marriage, the morals for our children now. We must put all that we have into teaching and training our children how to live in what is becoming a more corrupt world every day. We must instruct our children about the Christian standards for them to live by. And we have an example of a mother that we're going to talk about shortly that I think measures up to this. But we have trouble in our homes today. All across America, we are having trouble. The divorce rate is soaring as never before, with coming down now where that it's about one in every two marriages ending in a divorce. And then the family structure, this is causing changes in that, where that one of every five children under 18 lives in a single parent family. That means that there's been a divorce, and one out of every five children are the victims of a divorce and are having to live with just one of their parents. A lot of things in the home affect what goes on with our young people. I think sometimes we forget that. Suicides, that used to be the third major cause of death among young people, 15 to 24, is now the second major cause. A student at Vanderbilt University, whose roommate had committed suicide, made the statement. She said, "You do not see this in the papers, but in the last year there have been 7 suicides on our campus." By age 17, one of every 10 girls will have a baby. Think of this on Mother's Day, that half of them will have a baby out of wedlock. We used to use the word illegitimate. That means that they had relations and had a baby and were not married. 50% of young people under 19 say they have already had premarital sex. There won't be anything new when they come to the altar and start a home. In 1970, it was estimated that some 650,000 were living together who were not married. In 1977, 7 years later, it tripled up to 1.5 million who are living together and are not married. And so now, 7 years later, in 1984, with the trend still moving upward, if the same thing has happened, and I would be confident that it has, then we have some 4.5 million people in this country who are living together and they're not married. This all points to moral decay within the family. And its breakdown and its breakup. It seems that in so many areas, respect has been lost for marriage, for the sacredness of the marriage vow. A lot of people now, and these millions are an indication of this, that they're going in for what they call trial marriages. We want to try each other for a while and to see if it is going to work. That is just another escape hatch that they may live together in sin with this presumption that one day they may get married, and then if they don't really satisfy one another, then they can break up. But this, my friend, is moving in this country like wildfire. There's a difference in many of our homes today than what we used to have years ago. Most homes now, both parents are working. They just about have to make ends meet because of the way our society and the economy is. And then there's the equal rights issue, where that in many cases the wife will make as much or more as the husband in her job. So she says, I am entitled now to spend and buy and to do and so forth because I make the money also. So many things have changed the whole complex of our homes in our society. One day, some time ago, I was standing looking out the window and I saw the telephone truck pull up across the street. So I says, well, they must be having a telephone problem, and the telephone man has been called. Well, I watched this person get out of the truck, go to the back, and open the door, and get out a little toolbox, and start to walk up to the door. And then all of a sudden, it dawned on me, when I looked at the anatomy of that person, it wasn't a man, it was a woman. And I remarked to my wife, you can't call it the telephone man now, it's a telephone woman. And we had the termite man to come and make the annual inspections of our church here. And lo and behold, it wasn't the termite man, it's a termite woman. And so, where do we stop? I was over to the hospital Friday to see Alice, and they were plastering there in the hallway. And I saw some men working, and then I saw a person reach over and get a bucket of plaster. And it wasn't the plaster man, it was a plaster woman. So, this is the way our society is going now. And this is why we need to do all we can to maybe retrain and reconstruct some of the things we need to be doing in our home. But when we think now of the kind of mother that God chooses, and I think as He chose Mary, some of these characteristics would also stand out as He chooses mothers today. I think, first of all, that God chooses a mother who deems it a high calling and privilege to share in this supreme responsibility in shaping the lives of creatures made in the image of God. And that would be their children. This is a high calling. And I think it's one of the highest privileges that you mothers could have today, is to know that God has entrusted in your hands a little child made in His image, and now you have the responsibility of shaping that little child as it will go. From the cradle to the grave, mothers shape the lives of their children. Then secondly, God chooses a mother of character who well knows that the best teaching is not out of a book. We have too many book babies now, and that's what's wrong with so many of them. They have so much spoil-itis because of that. But the best teaching is by example. Example. If our religion does not lift the level of our family life, it is not likely to be sincere or really effective at any other point. What occurs here at the altar when you parents come to rededicate your life and make a decision for Christ, if it doesn't affect what happens in the kitchen at home, then you don't have very much. We should be able to carry our Christianity right into the home, and this is where the mother's influence counts so much. Then in the third place, I think, as God chose Mary, He chooses a mother who is submitted to God, who can look at all the temptations of a one world view and see them for what they are, the detours that would lead away from life's greatest happiness and life's highest best. We need mothers today who can see these temptations and who will give ear to them and then will be willing to instruct their children about the dangers of these. This is why I emphasize very strongly that you mothers ought to have the mother and daughter talks, and you shouldn't wait until they get to be a teenager to start. You should start when they're little teeny children, of talking to them and sharing with them, so when that child grows up, they will feel that they can come to you and talk to you about every phase of their life, and to know that they have confidence in you that you're going to keep their secrets and not blab them out, and that you're going to be concerned about them and their welfare. And you fathers need to do the same thing with your sons. I think a lot of this has been lost. A lot of parents have been so busy, and one thing that has contributed to this is both parents working. They do not spend the time with the children that they should, and so the children really have nowhere to turn where they can go and sit down and talk to their parents. But we need to recapture that, and we need to work at this real hard, even in this society where both parents work, where that the children can feel that they can talk to their parents and that they have a concern in what they're doing. Children need to be able to come in and talk to you. And this is one thing we always had with our children. Our children would go out on a date, believe it or not, and they would come in and come marching right into the bedroom and fall on the bed, and they would tell us what went on. Now, we didn't tell them that they had to do this, but there is a statement I would share with you parents that you ought to share with your children. And that is to say unto them, you don't have to come and tell me everything you did on your date, but you ought to be able to do it and not be ashamed of what you did that you could not share it with your mother. Now, it cost us in the long run some material things, because Mel and Connie both had a habit of coming in and falling down, and after a while they got older, you know, and they got heavier because they ate a lot. And one night I told Thelma, I said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it did. The whole bed broke down. And we literally slept on a pad for a week until we could get the bed fixed. But I would spend the rest of my life buying beds if it meant that I could talk to my children, and when they had a problem, they could come, and regardless of what it is, I don't care what the problem is, they come and they say, I need help. Can you help me? Or I'm having this problem. That's what we are for. That's why God chose Mary. Jesus went to his mother, and she loved him, and she cared for him, and she taught him, and she instructed him. Even though he was the chosen of God, she still hovered over him as a little child, as a mother ought to do today. It thrilled my soul the other day, and I literally emphasize that word, thrill, when I heard of a young lady in our church who was invited to the prom. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But the young man wanted to take her to the prom, and then he had some ideas of his own. And he says, now, after the prom, we're going to get a hotel room, and then we're going to sleep together for the rest of the night. And the young girl refused him and said, not with me, you're not. He says, well, I'll get somebody else then. Then you'll have to get somebody else. That says a couple of things to me that stand out. Number one, it says to me that there is a mother that is something like Mary was, who took the time to teach her daughter that her body was not a toy for every Tom, Dick, and Harry to come by and pull on and to use for his own lusty pleasure. It also tells me that that mother had confidence in that young girl, and she had instilled in her mind the Christian principles and standards that we need to still lift up in our society today. Regardless if in many places it's turning into another Sodom and Gomorrah, we still as Christians and parents must lift up these standards that our children will know that there are some guidelines and something that they can reach up and measure up to. And this is what we need today. Now, I guess some of you young people say, well, the pastor can say that because he didn't go to the prom when he went to school. Well, I have news for you, you young scamps. I did go. I mean, it was only 15 or 20 years ago, but I went. My class in Kempsville High School, I went to a reunion a couple of years ago, and I'm still close to a lot of those folks. And we went and we had a lovely banquet down at the old Cavalier Hotel. That was for the remodel. That was back when it was beautiful before they did anything to it. We had a lovely banquet, a lovely evening. And then at a decent and respectable time, some of us left and went on home. And we didn't get in any trouble. We didn't have to have anything to drink other than what we had for dinner. Now, you who went to a prom last night at Kellum, can you say the same thing? You see, you're not an old fuddy-duddy because you don't go. You can go, but you need to know how to act. And you need to know what's a respectable hour to come home. And you need to know that your body is sacred unto God. Because God has given us something special. And if young people are going to know this, it's going to have to come from you sweet dear mothers and you fathers. You need to instill in the minds of your children how they ought to go. They're not going to learn it on their own. I tell you right now, they're not going to learn it in school where they kick God out. And if we don't teach them in the pulpit and in the classroom of the church and in the home at the mother's knee where you need to be praying and teaching and reading the Bible to them, you tell me where they are going to learn it. A lot of things have contributed to some of those figures I gave you. We need the closeness in the home. You need to love your mothers, and thank God that your mother is still alive. You need to love her and visit her and appreciate her. And you mothers need to appreciate your children. You will not have them with you forever. But there's so many things in society that's contributed to some of those figures. You can't even go to a decent movie anymore with the filth and the nudity and the language. And now most of society just say, oh, so what, you know. That's the problem right now. We've just taken it all for granted. Then there's another thing I want to mention. Bear with me just a couple of minutes. That is a mother who never ceases to care. I wish I had time to elaborate on this. But Mary never ceased to care for her son, Jesus. when she literally brought him into the world. In a physical way, as you mothers brought your children into the world, she brought Jesus, even though he was conceived in a different way. She gave birth to that child, and she laid him in a little manger. She cared for him. She mothered him. She was poor. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She didn't have all the silks and the finery, but she loved him. She nurtured that child. She nursed that child, and he grew up. And she carried him to the temple. And she taught him at home about God, about the right way of life. She didn't understand some things when she watched him as he began to grow. And she knew that he was something special. But Mary never stopped caring. All the way, she watched her son grow up. And even at 33 years of age, she still was concerned about her son. She stood there at the cross and watched him when he was crucified and wept, realizing that he was something special. She went and saw the empty tomb where her son had risen from the grave. She stood there on Mount Olive and she watched her son as he literally went up in the clouds to go to heaven. She never stopped caring, and then she went and joined with the others in the upper room with the other disciples, that she might now carry out the work and help them carry out the work that her son had designated for them to do. She never stopped caring. And mothers, this is something that you should never cease to do, and that is to care for your children. It doesn't make any difference how old they get. They say, well, how old should your children be before you just throw them out and turn them loose and tell them to go? I don't know. At 33 years of age, Mary was still concerned about Jesus. That's why she stands out such. What an example. When do we ever stop? I don't think we ever stop. And the older the children get, the more you have to care. And then when the little grandchildren come along, you care more. When do you stop? When God lays you in the grave, I guess. And then you still look back, even though they can't see you. But we never stop caring. And I don't think we should. I don't think we should ever stop caring and supporting and encouraging. And I thank God for you wonderful mothers today. And I know some of you fit the description of what I'm talking about right here in this Bible. How do I know this? Because after being in this church for 21 years, I know some of you like a book. And I know what's in your home and in your lives and in your children's lives. And I know the instructions that you give your children. And I know that you measure up to a lot that I'm talking about right here. And your influence and your example, I thank God for. Because that's what we need. And as I thank God this morning for the example that my mother, still the influence, affects my life right now, even though she's not with me. And I thank God for the influence of my mother-in-law that still is with me. And for you, blessed mothers, we need to have a good example and a good influence in your home. Let me share this story as I close. This Baroness Isaac Dineson lived for years on a lovely farm in the highlands of Nairobi. And she wrote a classic entitled Out of Africa. And she told about a young Kikuyu named Kata who came in her household to be her houseboy. He stayed there 3 months. And after 3 months, he went to her and he says, I want a letter of recommendation to Sheikh Allah bin Salim. He was a Mohammedan. Now, the Baroness was a Christian. And she says, I don't want you to leave. You have just learned all of the things of the household, the chores, and you do them so well. I don't want you to leave. I love you, and we get along, and I will raise your pay to stay. And he says, Madam, it is not the pay I want. He says, you can't. He says, I've been deciding about what I want to do with my life, whether I want to be a Christian or a Mohammedan.
And he says, I've come now to live with you for 3 months, and I've watched the customs and the ways of a Christian in a Christian home. Now, he says, I want to go to this home who is a Mohammedan, and I want to watch his ways for 3 months, and then I'm going to decide what I'm going to be. My heavens, she exclaimed as she screamed out. Why didn't you let me know? As she contemplated all of the imperfections of her life, what a shock it was to her. Would it be a shock to you this morning, dear Christians, if some young person were to come and to live in your home for 3 months, and when they finish the 3 month period, would they want Christianity for themselves because of what they see and what they hear in your conversation, the attitudes in the family, the harmony, the unity, the love, the Bible being a special place, prayer being a special place? What would they conclude at the end of 3 months if they stayed in your home? It's rather shocking, isn't it? But I hope this will help us to realize that this is exactly the way we ought to conduct our home, so that when someone comes into our homes, they will know that we are Christians. Not so much by what we say, but by what they see, what they witness in our actions. Your home can be Christian. Mary was highly favored with God. Every one of you mothers can have favor with God if you will just let your faith in your life be joined to Him. You too can have these characteristics. And may God help you to have them. Maybe some of you are here this morning and say, Pastor, I don't measure up at all. Our home is not Christian. In fact, I am not Christian. This may be a husband speaking, or it may be a wife, or it may be a young person in the home. On this Mother's Day, I would encourage you to come and accept Christ as your Savior and unite your heart and your life with Him this morning, and let Him become supreme in your home too. Would you stand?